This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. North Carolina's largest health insurer says it might have to consider withdrawing from the exchange marketplace under the Affordable Care Act. Blue Cross and Blue Shield CEO Brad Wilson told the News and Observer last week the company is consistently losing money from its Obamacare policies. Blue Cross is expected to report more losses in 2015. Meanwhile, State Insurance Commissioner Wayne Goodwin says the health care policy is destabilizing the insurance market in North Carolina, driving up premiums, and reducing the number of options for consumers. These developments raise questions about how the state should implement the law going forward. We're going to hear from the State Insurance Commissioner, Wayne Goodwin, in just a moment. But first, let's get an update from Jason DeBruin. He's a reporter for the Triangle Business Journal. Hello, Jason.
Frank, hi. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. I'm just curious about the latest enrollment numbers in North Carolina and how we compare to the rest of the country. Do you have that for us?
I sure do. So enrollment is now closed, or the open enrollment period that you sort of always read about there in the latter part of the year that gets extended into the early part of the next year. And in North Carolina, about 613,000 people signed up for these so-called Obamacare plans, the ones that you buy on the exchange plans. These are, of course, individuals who can't get insurance through their employer and so come to healthcare.gov to buy plans. So the number, about 613,000 people in North Carolina for this go-around, which is roughly a 10-11% increase over what we saw last year.
And how do we compare to the rest of the country?
Well, we're a pretty big state, so we have a good bit more enrollees here than in many other states. The comparisons that are often made are to the other states that are on healthcare.gov. You'll remember years ago the Supreme Court ruled that not every state was required to set up its own exchange. These exchange, of course, are where individuals go and comparison shop for health insurance. So comparing only to those states that did not set up their own individual exchange, we actually have the third most. That's behind Florida and Texas. We're ahead of states like Georgia, Pennsylvania, Virginia, Illinois, Michigan, so some other pretty big states that you'll probably notice a trend where they're controlled by Republicans. Compared to other larger states that have set up their own exchanges, we're down the list a little bit, but that's to be expected since we're on the federal program.
We can't tell from those numbers exactly how many people didn't have insurance. Those are just the people who have enrolled under ACA, right?
That's correct. There's no way to definitively capture those people that didn't have insurance and are now buying insurance on healthcare.gov. But you can estimate it a little bit, and I'll give you one way of doing it. For example, in North Carolina, there's about 88% of people that qualify for some sort of premium assistance. This is the federal subsidy. That number's a good bit higher than in many other states. And so one could potentially deduce from there that these are individuals who are a little bit poorer, therefore qualify for a higher level of federal subsidy, so we're more likely to not have insurance prior to the Affordable Care Act. Those are, however, just assumptions.
Okay. So Blue Cross and Blue Shield says it's losing money with these policies. How much does it say it's losing?
Well, it's losing a good bit, actually, and the short answer for why they're losing money is just simply that they underestimated how costly these individuals would be. Just as we sort of mentioned, these are people that are on the tend to be on the poorer end of the income scale and potentially have not had insurance for some time. They're entering the insurance market now, entering that healthcare market now, and are just, frankly, costing insurers like Blue Cross more than they're taking in premiums. We don't have numbers yet for 2015, but I'll give you some numbers for 2014, which there's no reason to believe 2015 will be appreciably different. Just for instance, Blue Cross collected about $1.2 billion in premiums for these Affordable Care Act plans, and that's a total not only of premiums from the individuals, but also what the federal government kicked in. So that's $1.2 that they collected, but had to pay out $1.6 in healthcare claims. So there's a significant gap there that they posted as a loss. Now, the federal government did come in and subsidize even further some of those losses, but still at the end of 2014, Blue Cross ended up losing more than $100 million just on these plans alone.
Now, those kind of losses should not have come as a total surprise, maybe the amounts, but the fact is that planners knew if you suddenly add a lot of people who have gone uninsured for a long time, you're going to see costs go up. I mean, we all knew that going in, and apparently it's just the amount, the difference, that was a bit of a surprise. Is that right?
That's not a bad way of looking at it. You know, these actuaries that are employed at these large insurance companies tend to have pretty good models. Unfortunately, those models that they've had for years have applied to, you know, employer-based health insurance or even others who have purchased on the individual market that tend to be a good bit larger. I mean, you know, although there's, 600,000 people roughly that sign up for insurance in North Carolina, there are still, you know, many millions that purchase insurance through their employer. Of course, the larger the pool, the more accurate your actuarial measures are going to be. So, you know, part of what's at issue here is that the pool just isn't simply large enough to have some of that actuarial smoothing, and so their predictions came in a little bit lower than expected. And so, you know, they're having to raise rates both for the 2015 and 2016 crops, but it's possible that those rate increases are potentially too little, too late.
Well, and as we mentioned, Blue Cross and Blue Shield CEO Brad Wilson said the company might have to consider withdrawing or limiting its policies under ACA. Blue Cross is the only insurer that covers all 100 counties under the ACA, so those comments certainly cause for concern in the insurance market, and it falls to the state insurance commissioner to oversee the market and protect consumers in North Carolina. Wayne Goodwin holds that position, and he joins me now on the State of Things. Welcome, Commissioner. Good to have you here.
Well, thank you very much. Pleased to be here.
We contacted Blue Cross and Blue Shield of North Carolina and invited CEO Brad Wilson to join us. He declined. So let me talk with you, Commissioner Goodwin. You recently wrote a letter to the U.S. Health and Human Services Secretary saying that the ACA is destabilizing the insurance market. What did you mean?
Well, let me back up for a second. I was asked to write the letter by Secretary Burwell. This past November, I was in Washington, D.C. with all of these state insurance commissioners from around the country, and Secretary Burwell was giving a presentation, an update. And during the course of the presentation, she asked for questions, and I asked some questions pertaining to North Carolina's market. And she didn't have a chance to fully answer the question, so afterwards I met up with her, and we spoke privately for about 10 minutes or so. And she said, you know, I would like for you to write me a letter to share with me what is not working with the ACA in North Carolina. Now, she didn't want me to write about what is working. There's a lot of great things working. We know that with the number of people that are enrolled and the like and the consumer benefits and so on. So the letter was intended to talk about at least three areas of concern, all of which are impacting not only our ACA participants, but could ultimately impact everybody who has health insurance in our state.
So tell us about those. What are those concerns?
Well, the first one is that, you know, we have seen as a result of congressional inaction, the fact that the law has, and it's been on the books now for 6 years, the fact that it is a toxic subject for so many folks in the political realm, that no one wants to work on making it better. So there are some things that we knew were going to happen that were worse than what we expected to happen, and you referenced that a moment ago about the losses. But the first thing that I shared with Secretary Burwell was the fact that we've had so many mergers among health insurance companies nationally, and that it's impacting choice and availability, and it certainly impacts pricing in states like ours. The second topic I shared with her was a concern about service area reductions. You mentioned that we only have one carrier in our state, Blue Cross, which covers all 100 counties, and we appreciate that. But there are grave concerns when you have only one carrier riding in all parts of the state. North Carolina is not alone in having a huge player in the health insurance market, but my concern was, from what we were seeing, that if the company pulls back, it will leave some folks with no choices for health insurance whatsoever, whether they're ACA or not. And the third topic was the impact of insurance companies, including Blue Cross, deciding to eliminate commissions for their agents and brokers. These are the folks on Main Street in every town in our state who give counsel and guidance to people who want health insurance. So consumers are getting hit from every angle on this. And
let me just stop you just on that point alone. Yeah. But then those brokers wouldn't be able to go to insurance company Y and say, okay, I'll sell for you, because there is no insurance company Y in some of those counties.
That's exactly right. And so my letter ultimately was, how can we make the law better and make it work, not to tear it down? And and there's been some misunderstanding about what the letter was about. But I want to make sure that consumers are protected and that our market is a thriving market.
So you talked about inaction. Of course, the Republicans have spent a long time trying to overturn ACA. They've made repeated attempts at that. But you say there could have been ways, and there still are ways to fix it, in which consumers could be protected. What are those ways that if Congress had applied themselves that you think might have corrected some of these imbalances?
Well, and there are actions both by the federal government and by the state government that were those actions taken, we would have avoided a significant portion of the calamity we're all facing right now with this health insurance issue. First of all, is that since so many states, because of political reasons predominantly, chose to defer to the federal government and not take the option that states had to have a state exchange and to have a Medicaid expansion action taken, that the number of states that were to go to the federal government for healthcare.gov was double of what was anticipated. Mm-hmm. So the monies that were allocated by Congress for what's called risk corridors to make sure that the transition was stabilized, you referenced that a while ago, that there was insufficient money, and that in part on the congressional level led to insufficient funds to stabilize the market, and that's why Blue Cross, among many reasons, had a loss of $125, $130 million mm-hmm. in 1 year. That's on the congressional level. On the other on the state level, from day one, I have stressed to our legislative leaders and to our governor and former governor, because this started back in 2010, that we needed to have control of our own destiny as a state. We needed a state exchange. We would have had, in addition to more say, we'd have more voices heard. I would have had more authority to leverage lower rates and spread out any increases, if any, that were needed over time. And we would have avoided attacks on our insurance policies if we'd had a state exchange. We didn't do that. And we also didn't expand Medicaid, and that's impacting the bottom line for insurance companies, particularly Blue Cross, since it's the only one that covers the state. So that's the things that I stress. And the final thing, that I've, and this is referenced in my letter, is that we need to seek waivers from the federal law so that we can help correct this. If the federal government won't act, then the state government needs to reclaim its destiny on this and not just defer to the feds. We're contributing to the problem by waiting on Washington.
So not only do we not control our own destiny by having the state exchange, which the legislature refused to do, insisting
right.
that Obamacare was a failure, therefore we won't participate, therefore no state exchange. So it taxes us, so it increases the cost. But also the federal exchange then limits the state's power or insurance companies within the state to increase their rates, right?
Yes.
So the fact that we're not have a state exchange means Blue Cross and Blue Shield is limited in terms of rate increase. Is that true?
That's true. And in addition to that, if we had had a state exchange, then I had at least two more companies that were going to come into North Carolina and directly compete with Blue Cross. And we all know competition is good, and it certainly would have helped for folks to have more choices and better prices. But again, that's something that state did not take that route.
I want to back out. Jason DeBruin, you're still with us, to get a little economics 101, because, of course, the theory of keeping insurance companies in the whole debate over ACA was, no, we want market forces. This is a capitalist country. We want capitalism to work, and therefore we're not going to have a socialized medicine system. We're going to have a capitalist system with market mechanisms. Essential to that is competition. When you have one company that operates in all 100 counties of the state and no company that has that kind of power, to what extent does that disable the very market mechanism that you said that supporters said was in play here and would make things work better? I mean, is there a discrepancy there?
Well, yeah, I mean, certainly the more competition you have in an ideal situation, just like you said, economics 101, you would think that would help to drive down costs. It should be mentioned there are two other providers that do operate in this state. They're not in all 100 counties, but they're definitely in some of the larger metro areas. They do have a smaller market share than does Blue Cross, but they do at least exist. So if consumers want to try to comparison shop, there is at least a little bit of competition there.
But I do hear that there would have been even two more had we had a state exchange.
Right. That's according to the commissioner. That's not something that I can obviously verify. Right. But certainly I'm not inclined to believe that that's not true, of course.
Well, and just another kind of 101 in terms of insurance economics, and I'll come back to the commissioner on this too. But, Jason, I mean, when it comes to the world of insurance and actuarial calculation, the bigger the pool, the lower the risk. So let's go back to woulda, shoulda. If there had been a single provider, if there had been, you know, one provider rather than or insurer, you'd have a bigger risk. Would costs not be lower in general, just in terms of general economics, if you had only one provider, one insurer?
Well, yeah, the two economic theories, as you're referencing, are sort of in conflict with each other, right? Because on the one hand, we're saying we don't have enough competition, and that's helping to keep our premiums high. But on the other hand, you can say if there's just one provider that has the entire pool, that would help lower costs. Maybe our problem is that we're neither the one nor the other, so we're caught in this hybrid system in between where we have competition but not enough, and so we have the worst of both worlds.
Where the insurance commissioner gets very worried when the largest provider says we might have to stop. So talk about that very point that Jason just made. Is it the hybrid that is at least one of the sources of trouble in all this?
Yes, that is. I mean, you know, there are two theories, and you'd think that if you have one company, there could be economies of scale. But again, there's so many interdependent parts in this discussion. I mean, the fact that there was not expansion of Medicaid meant that you had hundreds of thousands of people that are going to that company with more serious health conditions than the typical policyholder. That was not something that companies and actuaries had necessarily predicted or expected. But yeah, it is. We are stuck in the middle. And how do we claw our way out of that? That's the question.
You had to turn back a grant that would have helped. Consumers navigate the system. Tell us more about that.
Sure. At one point, North Carolina was headed towards having a state exchange, and we made application and was awarded $74 million in federal dollars, which those are our tax dollars here in North Carolina. And a significant portion of that was to go towards consumer education to help people learn how to navigate the system, to understand what a deductible is and how to get the best price to the shop around and the like. Well, because North Carolina and Governor McCrory decided they did not want to have the state in control of its own destiny, the legislature passed a law, a Republican majority passed a law that said that we had to return all the grant money. And that was $74 million, which then went to some other state. So we are subsidizing, North Carolinians are subsidizing other states that held on to their grant dollars. And that is extremely frustrating.
Now, Blue Cross does have navigators, right? The people who help people get through the system. Isn't that true?
Well, I mean, Blue Cross has brokers and the like, but navigators are a different entity. The federal law created an entity of where different groups could have persons that could provide, counsel and the like for folks, but they are not licensed insurance agents. Right. They're not familiar with the insurance laws and other things, and that was another point of concern too.
So going forward, as long as we're on that subject, though, I want to change gears just a little bit. Your department recently opened up an investigation into the computer problems at Blue Cross and Blue Shield. Tell us where we are on that.
Right. And this is a parallel issue, but this is the one that's actually hitting people in their homes and in their pocketbooks right now, is that apparently Blue Cross Blue Shield had made a decision to change their software, and they admit there was a problem with that. And as people participated in the enrollment period to enroll for the first time or to re-enroll, they could not get through. And then the next thing you know, they could not get through online. And then they were calling in. I think there was like 150,000 calls in one day. And then here we are 6 weeks later. And some improvements have been made, but there's a dramatic impact on folks who could not get their appointment scheduled. They didn't have insurance cards. They were getting double billed for coverage that they didn't know they had or not. So that has led to a domino effect with my office, because we have a consumer services division to help people in such a situation. And the number of calls we've received is quadruple in a period of a month that we normally would have. We've had well over 4,000 calls in a month. We've had over 1,100 complaints. And that is at such a level that it was clear that I needed to launch it's called an examination, but it's an audit, it's a probe, it's a deep dive into what happened, how it happened, what can be done to prevent it from happening? Were there any procedures, laws, regulations broken, and the like?
And you're in the middle of that.
We're in the middle of that, and I can't go into any further detail about it, but that is public that I did initiate that.
Wayne Goodwin is North Carolina's insurance commissioner. Jason DeBruin, a reporter for the Triangle Business Journal. Gentlemen, thank you both for being on the program.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Just ahead, North Carolina physicists explain gravitational waves and why a discovery and major breakthrough that we've just heard about in gravitational waves proves Einstein was right. Hear about it on The State of Things. Stay tuned.